Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis, sitting in for Melody Cederstrom. She should be joining us later in the program. We'll see how that works out. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And today's report is for the second day of March, year of our Lord, 2016. We'll give you the metals and the equity report and so on. And then Wendy Wilson will be joining us from thepowerherbs.com. And later in the program, Rob West will be joining us after the first break, and I'll introduce him a little later in the program. Gold is up $8.60 today to $1,241.30 per ounce. Silver's up 13 cents to $1,503 per ounce. Platinum is down $2 to $940. Palladium is up $3 to $522 per ounce. When we get into the Dow Jones, up 13 points to 16,878. NASDAQ is up 6.6 to 4,696. New York Stock Exchange is up 55 points to 9,826. U.S. dollar index is down 0.21 to 98.17. And crude oil is up 49 cents per barrel to $34.89 a barrel. Crude oil's, you know, all things considered, compared to where it was in the recent past, crude oil has done pretty well in the last week or so. Was down 28, 29. And now it's up almost 35. You know, that's got to be cause for celebration in the oil patch. It's not. It doesn't mean you can go take a vacation and buy a new home and a new airplane or whatever. But just to see crude oil rising rather than continuing to fall has got to be good for the folks in the oil business. And it's likewise good to see what's happening in gold. You know, it's been mostly up, got a few downs and the rest of that, but since the first of the year, gold has done well. And we will watch to see whether it continues to do so, or, you know, we may get some setbacks before this is all over, but it looks to me as if there's a 70% probability that gold is going to continue to rise into the foreseeable future. Not a guarantee, but a 70% probability is the way I'd put it. But Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com and or Well, we'll just start with that. Is joining us now and going to talk about rebranding the national healthcare system. Hello, Wendy, are you there?
Al, how are you?
Just fine.
Awesome. Yeah, so the healthcare system is going to be rebranding itself. You know, this is according to some sources out of U.S. Cleveland Clinic and JHN Productions Limited out of the U.K. They say that scientific healthcare is going to be rebranding itself. So you're going to see this growing shift, Al, in healthcare from that cookie-cutter, one-drug-fits-all therapy to a more personalized treatment. So why do you suppose medicine in Europe and the U.S. are embarking on such a change? Well, according to AMA physicians, they have been reporting, and studies have also shown, that 60% of patients are not filling their prescriptions or taking their drug medications as instructed. And why is that? Well, further research revealed that there is patient concern that the medications offer unpleasant or sometimes deadly side effects. So what we have is this unprecedented cultural shift in the, quote, mistrust of mainstream medicine. So the internet also allows patients to research their options, you know, their conditions,
yep,
and also share experiences. So nothing travels faster than negative reports on treatments, especially drug side effects. So rebranding, as you know, nothing new to the drug industry. They'll change the name of a drug in a skinny minute to sell it for another type of condition. One example would be Rogaine. Remember that?
Yeah, I don't remember what was there for originally, but it wound up being a hair restorer.
Right. It was originally a blood pressure medication called Lonatin, but during the drug trials, they happened to notice that it prevents further shedding or further hair loss. But what the minoxidil effect in that drug, Lonatin, did is it created what is called hypertrichosis, which is really abnormal extra hair growth on your torso and limbs. So what the drug manufacturers did is they isolated the minoxidil to a lotion to apply it locally just to the scalp to prevent that abnormal hair growth everywhere else. But then millions of consumers found out that they had to use that every day for the rest of their life or their hair started to fall out again. So what this new marketing is encompassing, Al, is this patient-personalized, compounded medicine, genomic gene mapping function. They're going to use a lot of patient genetics. For instance, the new personalized healthcare claims that if you had, let's say, a cancer, they can identify the genetic markers and select therapies that will attack those specific markers to destroy the tumors.
Not only so that, let me ask you this. If they're going to... What you seem to be saying is they're going to tailor the medicine for me. Tailor it. Not just give me a bottle, the same bottle that they would give you and 100 other people. They're going to tailor it to my genetics. And if it doesn't work, what's the value of my complaint? Do I warn other people against that medicine? Because they're not, the government's, well, it was something about my genetics.
Yeah. And do you get a refund? Well,
it depends on whether you live or die or you sue or you don't sue. I guess that's
right. Well, what the patient will be hearing is that they're going to be hearing they're unique, their genes are unique, the healthcare that is going to come up with this personalized treatment tailored to their specific genetic need, like you said. So it all sounds really good, but at the end of the day, it's all still about remission in their book or symptom reduction. They don't get at the cause of why you have cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. They're just going to treat the symptoms of cancer.
So they found a new avenue to sell minoxidil then. As long as you keep taking it, it'll suppress the problem. But if you ever stop, the problem comes right back.
Right, exactly. So this new healthcare marketing is also going to tap into a patient's chemical biomarkers. It's going to involve their biological treatments. And they want to do that in order for biologics to predict a patient's likelihood of getting a disease and how they would react to a treatment. An example would be a biological treatment for possibly getting breast cancer, and then women, instead of getting the breast cancer, could just go ahead and have the mastectomy now as a treatment for cancer they don't yet have. Get it?
No, I don't think I do.
Well, that's what they're pushing as a prevention. So we're supposed to also believe, Al, that this new personalized healthcare is going to cost us less money. Yeah. Well, what this rebrand message in healthcare wants to impart to patients is that the new medications approved by the FDA and the advancements in their genomics will make medicine better able to predict disease and offer treatments with fewer side effects. So the savvy patients can read between the lines, and they can focus on this rebranded healthcare. It's going to entail three things. It's going to entail earlier diagnosis and prescribed treatment for future disease patients don't even show symptoms of having yet. It's going to entail drug treatments for symptom management with fewer side effects. And thirdly, treating patients with gene therapies, their environment and lifestyle changes is a more tailored approach. So let me read you this quote by Catherine Tang. She is the director of the Personalized Healthcare Center at the Cleveland Clinic. She says this: "We have made tremendous growth in our knowledge of disease and our ability to treat disease, but we still have much to learn about the causes of disease," end of quote. So that should tell you something there about their personalized healthcare. It's just still treating diseases.
Yeah, treating symptoms. Treating symptoms as much as anything, and leaving the disease for, maybe it'll be there when you die or they dig you up, the archaeologists dig you up 1,000 years from now, but... one of the questions I have about this, what about litigation? If I'm going to take a drug that's been specifically tailored to my genetics, and if I'm like 60% of the people who aren't taking their meds right now, and I don't take the drug, does that negate my capacity to sue the manufacturer if the drug creates an adverse outcome?
I would think so, because I don't have any legal advice to give you on this right now, but it sounds like that probably would be so based on what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
So this healthcare rebranding hopes it accomplishes with their, you know, marketing of their treatments, they hope it will instill confidence in what doctors recommend in drugs and therapies to their patients and that those recommendations will be followed. Okay. And that's underlined. Okay. So, and an interesting angle in all this healthcare, Al, is that in this marketing, the patient's going to be told that they have a critical role in their personalized healthcare, in that the treatments are tailored to their genetic markers, their environment, their lifestyle. So they're going to have to have some sort of invested interest in this outcome. You get what I'm saying?
I do. And again, not just invested interest, but also invested responsibility and liability.
Right.
If they mess up with this hand-tailored, if they don't take these drugs as advised, it may limit their recourse.
Well, then the failure's on them, see?
Yeah.
So the patient's going to feel like they no longer are number, and they may like this tailored attention, but unfortunately it appears that it's all just this new spin on, you know, the treatment for symptom reduction and really not curing the condition.
Yep.
And really, why would the healthcare industry want to kill off the goose that lays the golden egg and cure everyone? And that's the point. They don't, and they won't, but they will make patients think the therapies are putting them on the path to a cure. And you got to keep in mind, Al, that drug side effects are the leading cause of hospital admissions in the United States. And scientific healthcare can't afford to part with the money the drug side effects generate. So rebranding healthcare can put more attention on the patient's lifestyle and environment, you know, treating the whole patient, but it's not really going to be like a naturopathic approach or, you know, where they treat the whole patient and not just one section. Because if you look at the big picture, when you do that, like naturopaths do, they also educate the person on how to take better care of themselves and how to avoid the disease in the future. And scientific medicine can't afford a healthcare system that treats the cause of that, you know, cannot just treat the cause of disease. But rebranding will make the patients think that they're going to get a cure. So that's what they're going to allow them to think. But let me read you this perspective real quick, if I got time, from the Wall Street Journal.
We got 5 minutes or 4 more minutes.
Okay. So this was in the Wall Street Journal. It was published in 2014, Why Doctors Are Sick of Their Profession. Physicians in their 40s and 50s were admitting that when it comes to their profession, they are impatient, indifferent, dismissive, and 50% feel they're adequately compensated, yet they're not satisfied. So what doctors are feeling, Al, is the status loss of their profession. Doctors were once pillars of the community during the 40s to the 1970s, and they're not so much anymore. And a lot of that is, you know, people, the whole industry is, you know, racked with, you know, moral and immoral issues. There's fraudulent reports. And so people are noticing this. And there's this heavy burden also encroaching the whole medical system, the bureaucracy of the Affordable Care Act, the professional burnout, the low morale. And we touched on that the other week. And also, professional debt is at the top of the list why doctors are unhappy. According to a 2012 Limpicott, Williams, and Wilkins Medscape graph, in the 1970s, about 72% of doctors graduated medical school with less than $20,000 in debt. But in 2010, the numbers jumped to 86% of graduates owning $160,000 in debt, which was higher than their annual income.
Yeah.
And according to a Gallup poll that was published also in the Wall Street Journal, since the 70s, the medical professionals seem to display a noticeable flat line in the public's ethical confidence, roughly about 56%. So the public doesn't have the confidence in the industry that they once had. So I think
the whole industry is in trouble. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think naturopaths and herbalists, they do look at the big picture. They tend to address the cause of the problem, which almost always tends to be a lack of nutrition and a buildup of toxins. It really is. It's the big, you know, aha moment for a lot of people. So toxin removal lifts that metabolic cellular burden off your system, so it allows it to use the nutrition to regenerate. So if you're not making progress, it's because you've probably got a lot of toxins blocking your progress. So that's why when I was in herb school, I knew that the cleanse and nourish approach with the organ cleansing and the immune boosting and putting in your organic nutrition was the way to go. And it really cures all internal medicine disease. It really does.
Well, I think I'm going to guess that in addition to cleansing, if you're the kind of person who's going to do cleansing in the first place, you're almost certainly going to be more nutritionally conscious, and you're going to be more conscious about your exercise, and a bunch of factors are going to come in. It's part of a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, it's really not a diet.
Very positive.
Diet's temporary. Yeah, diet's temporary. Lifestyle's permanent. So, you know, you don't want to repollute the whole body once you clean it up. So everybody's switching over. I've got young adults at home that notice that when they skip that junk food or that fast food, they feel better. They feel better.
Well, you know, if you've got 60% of the people who are getting prescriptions from doctors and they're not taking the prescriptions,
right?
Those people should be a market for your product and the lifestyle that's associated with your product. They got brains. Well, I'm not taking any more of that stuff. It's going to make me
sick. Well, and the other thing that's upsetting people is, you mean I got to take this the rest of my life?
Yeah.
You know, they're noticing that, okay, this is just a Band-Aid on a problem. Why can't you fix my problem?
And not only that, they're probably also noticing the price.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
They're not giving those pills away. Say, here, take one of these a day and it'll cost you a dime a day. Well, okay. I don't think you're going to get a dime a day on most of those pills. You're going to get a bunch, you know, I don't know what you're going to be paying, but it's a substantial sum for a lot of people. So why don't you give us a little contact information, Wendy?
Sure. Folks can call for a free product catalog. The number's toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or they can visit our store online, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, Al. Always a pleasure.
All right, Wendy. Thank you. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Wendy will be back next week, barring the unforeseen, and we're going to take a break for some commercials. And when we come back, Rob West should be joining us from RME Financial Advisors. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival. Melody Cederstrom has returned. So, Melody, what's next, Melody?
Well, I'd like to remind listeners to make sure you get to our website, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Monday. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs. They are archived. And you can also listen live. So get to the website, dgscoins.com. And I also want to thank a listener. You know, it's not that we get it once in a while. Good people out there send us, well, I hope I said that right, send us donations for the program. They send us money and tell us to apply it to the radio stations. And I want to thank Darlene for sending us a donation. And because we don't do any type of money bombs, we don't do any advertising to pay for the radio programs. We do that all through the purchases of gold and silver. I believe that strongly in the importance of owning gold and silver in your portfolio, and I believe in strongly of education on why you need to own gold and silver. It's just not about the prices. It's just not about gold going to 3,000 or 5,000. It's not about silver going to 50, 100 or plus. I mean, yes, that's important. It's exciting. It gets you motivated. But there's so much more to the gold and silver in the scheme of things. And I think we're certainly going to see it play out no matter who gets elected. And because we have a monetary policy problem. We have a fiat currency. And once we moved over to that system, it's only going to play out one way until it changes. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I would like to welcome Rob West, Senior Financial Strategist from RME Advisors. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Rob?
All's good here in Colorado. All's good.
It should be, Rob. You have pots there.
See,
legal.
I think that's
legal.
Legal
yeah.
pot.
Yeah.
That's how Bernie got his votes.
Well, put a pot in every chicken. Going to change the political philosophy a little bit, but same idea, same number of words to just reverse them.
I understand.
What do you have for us today, Rob?
I'm just noticing, just today it came across some news services I watch. There's an analyst, a gold metals analyst. Her name is Louise Yamada. And she has her own analytical service. But just, I think, within the last 12 hours, her figures came out, both short and intermediate term, to be very bullish on gold. So it might be I rarely am one that follows technical things when we have all these interesting fundamental things to view. But I just thought that was interesting, and it had a lot to do with the moving averages staying above 1,200. Peaking towards 1250 and then the strength that's been in there for a period of time. So I think the next technical mark that I understand is important, and Melody, you can lead on into this. I think it's around 1300 if for anybody the technician. But why price your insurance relative to a technical mark? You know, that's always been my theory. But I think gold and silver is much more of a spending power insurance move than it is anything to be a gold and silver trading move. So,
absolutely.
When you say that you don't follow the technical charts particularly, why is that? I think I already know the answer, but I'm just asking for the sake of the audience. If I'm understanding correctly, that you don't pay much attention to the charts.
Right. Yeah. Well, to bring. Technical analysis is where you can put people in a room with no windows and no doors, and they'll follow charts and graphs and come up with patterns that worked in the past, and therefore this is what they expect for the future. But a fundamentalist needs the windows and the doors, and if the sun's out, it's daytime. If it's not out, it's nighttime. You know, it's just a little bit different analysis, and I think I haven't been a trader for a long, long time, but a combination of both of those things can make for a good trader. But like I say, the gold and silver that I feel is a lot more appropriate for most everyone is the buy and hold for the insurance aspect. And it's exactly why the major Wall Street money isn't emphasizing any of this, because they, quite frankly, want to control your money. Either for trading purposes or to put a management fee, make you feel important so you have a lot of interesting things to talk about with your golfing buddies or whatever. But gold and silver stored in an IRA account and kept can't be traded. Or if you own it at home, I mean, it's there for you to have for your insurance purposes. And so many people just... I think I'm going to tell you what, the Wall Street guys aren't going to tell you that. And I spent plenty of time there. And fortunately, a lot of the time I spent there.
Do you get a tattoo with teardrops or anything like that, for one teardrop for every 5 years?
Well, I got scars maybe, but.
All right. Physical or emotional? Intellectual?
I didn't fall down any steps or anything, but
right.
I'm intellectually much better prepared to move forward in this next decade than I have been in the past for a lot of reasons. But
you make an interesting analogy when you say that the technical analysis takes place in a closed room where they pass out these charts and people eventually agree that this is what's going to happen. And the fundamentals are about having the windows open where you look outside and you see here's what's really going on. And I think that's got to be part of the mindset where you're saying, bad, that you're better prepared now than you were perhaps in the past. I'm going to guess that you're better prepared because you're paying more attention to fundamentals than you are charts. Am I roughly correct?
I do, for sure. And Melanie and I have talked before, and I think she'll re-agree with this, that once you have your house in order, I mean, in order to build a house, you start with spec. You know, somebody would usually be, they would draw all the plans and get a good foundation. And so many people have a hard time even getting to the good foundation part. And wouldn't you agree, Melody, that the foundation for your financial, the rest of your financial house should be the insurance elements and knowing good people in the business that keeps you informed. But once you get the foundation built, you're not going to, and you want to have it well insured, there's no reason for you to trade. And then if you become a trader and make profit and all that, folks, they forget, like, you know, not only are you taking a lot more risk to do other things, but you usually have April 15th to mess around with, you know, and the risk on top of taxation and all that. And if your house isn't properly built with good foundational insurance, I just think as a planner, I would be giving you a huge disservice not to suggest if it takes a few years to get that going before you want to be an investor, so to speak. Super. But once you get it done, you feel so much better. Don't you think, Melody?
I heard that so many times over the years that once folks get their foundation built on their homes, which is their gold and silver, that they put it away and they forget about it and they can actually go and live life a little bit. They don't follow the markets on a day-to-day basis. And you're right about Wall Street. They do want to control and they need to trade. That's how they make their money. That's why they don't like gold. And a lot of times you see these trades, even if you follow the charts and so forth, you might see these odd trades that it's like, well, gee, why would they do that? Or why does this one stock have so many, you know, trades when it only moves a penny or two? And it's like, well, number one, they have to trade. Number two, there's billions of dollars that are controlling that trade, and they make millions in the process. So charts can't reflect that anymore. And that's why I think when it comes to charts, to me, they're talking points. I do believe as you see something move like gold, we do look at resistant levels. We look at, the technical levels. To me, I look at it as maybe as momentum to see exactly what is happening to the market. Just like I look at the certified $20 gold pieces, the collectible coins, that gives me an idea of momentum of the market. Because there's such a limited supply of those, it affects the supply of them when demand is high, and we'll see prices rise. So I know there's a good, you know, there's a good chunk of people across the nation, not just here at Discount Gold and Silver, but what the industry is doing as a whole to give me an idea of the momentum. So it's the same thing when we see the 1250 and the 1300 for gold. I would like to see gold close above 1250 a couple of times. Then I believe we'll get the next leg up to 13. So, and I do believe 1300 is also a very important number. But yeah, markets are rigged. Charts, what do they mean anymore? Except keeps people busy and keeps people getting paid.
Well, you said something interesting there. I'll get past that getting paid thing here in a minute, but Al, I think you would agree with this as well. Melanie, what you were mentioning may have slipped by a lot of listeners in that you know what you have, so to speak. I mean, okay, you have a really good handle on how much gold and silver comes out of the ground every year and where it comes from. I'm telling you, you don't have that in the world of financial products at all. And just to compare the asset classes, it just makes me feel so much more comfortable to tell people to get this put away. Look, if it's, you know, 1237 right now and you're going to, no, don't wait till it's going to be 1231. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
No. Nope.
Yeah. And, if you overall look at the risk of everything, particularly if you're but the inside of an account, and you're at the end of the year, you're, you know, got these guys that make money, make a lot of money selling their newsletters to tell you how to plan your taxes for the end of the year so you can swap your gains against your losses. I've done that so many times, I don't even want to think about it anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the right spot, I think. But
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just when I see the charts, well, I just understood last month, in January, Russia picked up another 700,000 ounces of gold. I saw that on the January 16th article. Between China and Russia, you know, and I think Melody, you could help with this, but India is a big buyer too. But if I looked at a pie chart, it looked like the United States had about a third of all the gold. Well, who would know, because they won't let anybody audit it, you know? But if these other countries are buying it up as much as they are, given all the conditions that you and I read about and, you know, the Donald Trump bump and whatever might be going on, I mean, the value of gold, why would they be, their central banks be banking so much of it right now? I mean, that's...
When you talk about a third of the gold being in the United States, or do you think we're counting only physical gold, or they only, or is this confused with paper gold?
No, the things I were reading was indicating physical. Okay. And you know, to explain a little to the listeners about the paper gold, it's, you know, the ETFs and the contract for delivery and all that, you know, like in exchange-traded funds. They're supposed to buy up and keep on reserve relative to the amount of people that invest in their ETF and how many shares they buy. But you're still not able to look at it. It isn't an insured account, and it's not a regulated account, so you don't even know if they have it.
Yeah.
That's what Bob Chapman always used to say. You don't know that they have it.
Yep.
And odds are they don't.
They just say they have it, and people are willing to take that statement as true, and that's a problem. All right, that gives governments great power. It gives hustlers great power. People are inclined to trust and believe people's statements, and if you're dealing with someone who's unethical, you can be fooled and you can be deceived. Let me ask you this about your business at RME. When you provide financial advice to someone, what time frame do you generally provide? Do you give them financial advice on what you have to do from now until Friday next week? Or is it till the end of the year? Or is it for 5-10 years down the road? What do you view as financial advice?
Well, I think our methodology, and primarily I'm the lead strategist, you know, Sherry Peterson, my partner, and Marilyn, their office manager, and they have some other functions with our company, but I'm like Melody, and she'll go over this. She does every time with every person, I think, when I refer people to her, is that let's first start what's your objective. And if you have short and intermediate term things, let's know about those first before we start building that whole shore of the foundation for long term, because I wouldn't be doing a good job with them if, well, yeah, I got 60,000 I want to put in gold. Boy, that sounds great. If I was one of the brokers in the bullpen, I'd just be loving that one. And I'd just take you to some of the best stuff I thought I could make a good buck with. No. Okay, out of that 60, when do you think he might need that? Well, that's my son's education money. Well, how old is he? Well, he's a sophomore in high school. But I want to make a lot of money between now and the next 3 years. Maybe not a good idea, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe for a little bit, but I understand what you're saying, and that's really important. And good, experienced people will ask those types of questions. And Melody, I know you know it's really important that you know those too, even though we sometimes joked about some of my adventures in Wall Street and
Let's break for a moment right now, Robin. We're going to take some commercials, and we'll talk about adventures in Wall Street when we return with Rob West from RMA Financial Advisors. Please stay tuned.
Aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West from RMA Financial Advisors. He is the Chief Investment Strategist, and when we broke, Rob mentioned something about adventures in Wall Street. Is that something you wanted to fill in on? Or?
Well, I'll shorten it from a couple of decades into. Mel and I were talking the other day, and some information came my way that some people have heard about the speech that was given by Hillary Clinton to Goldman Sachs, and it was apparently leaked. And yep. So it's very hard to authenticate if that's really. But I happened to find a copy of it, and I was going through it, and I was thinking, man, if she didn't write it, I mean, I've been to those meetings before, and that was back in the 80s. And because I was one of the few certified financial planners back then that worked for Wall Street firms, so I got invited to a lot of meetings in New York and Boston in particular. And I'm telling you, the behavior of those guys was not what you would think that's what your broker would be like because of, well, it just wasn't. And so when I was reading that transcript and how they thought of people, they look at you as pockets of money running around for which they can make a deal and make money on it, and maybe you will too, but if you don't, it really doesn't matter. And it's gotten worse from that. And so I was just telling her, if information like that would be known, people would not be so hesitant if they haven't built their foundation well, they wouldn't be that hesitant right now to really explore it, because we have, this has been going on for a long time, and now we're seeing these things come out during the debates and with the election and all that. And I'm telling you, folks, the financial world out there ain't what you're thinking, and the people that are running the show, that's, they got us hoodwinked by thinking what we do between the parties, and you can just see things through the lines if you're used to reading it. And I know Al, you're very good at doing that, and Melody is as well. But we seriously have some issues, and it's going to take some time to work through it, and you really need to have your financial purchasing power private and insured. And I mean, you really, really do. But I'm not a financial advisor anymore, as it would seem to indicate when you introduced me, Al, which I appreciate. But I'm a financial strategist. Okay. I had many years as a certified financial planner, registered investment advisor, stockbroker. And but I just don't do that anymore. But I certainly offer up any information I can to help people get on track, and it's all for free. And I am working on a book, and I would love to have some participation when it gets ready. But email me or call me, and I would be happy to share with you some experiences that I just think it's important for people to know. But
so you were a wolf on Wall Street, Rom.
You mentioned that before, and I well, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but I was proving some things, because I was told I wouldn't make it in the business back then, and I ended up being I resigned as a vice president of a large firm, and E.F. Hutton was really sorry they made a mistake and didn't hire me. And they, but I did become an expert witness for him in court a few times. But it's a whole different world that people just really don't understand, and you wouldn't. And it's designed that way. And I'm telling you, it's much better designed now than it was back then. But you just need to get to know Melody and people like her, and listen to her show and listen to Al's show, because there's some very good information out there. And I just think that's why we're in the financial education business. You know, we're just like you just said earlier on, Melody. I mean, it's about the education of this stuff, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Here's something that's a little bit educational, or at least it's interesting to contemplate. This is from a newsletter by Simon Black, Sovereign Man, newsletter that just came out today, and the title of the article was, "Did You See Warren Buffett's Proclamation About Social Security?" So the subject is, Warren Buffett made some comments on Social Security, and Simon Black took off with his thing. But here's what interested me about it. According to Simon Black, he says, Social Security's recent annual report states that its shortfall is at least $42 trillion. This liability is staggering. To put that number in context, even if Warren Buffett gave the entirety of his $66 billion fortune to Social Security, he would only be able to plug the gap for a whopping 43 days. Now, this is interesting, because the federal government claims the national debt, as we all know, is about $19 trillion right now. But then they come out and admit, in their Social Security report, their annual report, according to Simon Black, says, oh, the national debt's $19 trillion, but Social Security, the Social Security shortfall is $42 trillion. That's twice the size of the claimed national debt. Now, doesn't this tell us that the total debt owed by the federal government is closer to $100 trillion? As claimed by John Williams at ShadowStats.com, or even over $200 trillion as claimed by the Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff. Isn't it closer to that than it is to the $19 trillion? And what are the implications of this? You know, we sit back, this year's, they talk about, they compare later on in the article, it says the system is beyond repair. And to presume that all of Social Security's promises can be honored is simply insane. Not only did Uncle Sam post an even greater level of insolvency than the year before at minus 18 trillion. Here's what they're talking about. This sentence isn't too coherent. But what they're saying, that last year, they said that the total shortfall at Social Security was 18 trillion. This year, they say it's 42 trillion. All right? More than double what it was last year. Now, how can that be? Was the 18 trillion of debt hidden in last year's auditors? Was it overlooked? Did they just, oh, how about that? There's 18 trillion. We overlooked that. In just the last 12 months, what persuaded the government to admit the existence of another $24 trillion in debt? All right. Now, this is an interesting question. They went from 18 trillion to 42 trillion in 12 months. Now, I know the debt didn't go up that much. That means they are revealing more debt. That's what happened. They're telling us, oh, we've got another $24 trillion to reveal here. Why did they do that? I'm wondering if it could be that the government is anticipating some sort of a bankruptcy and therefore wants to admit all of its debts now, get them all out in the open so they can be rendered void in bankruptcy. I understand that's an unlikely probability, but it crosses my mind. Does any of that make sense to you, Rob?
Well, it's hard to put a quantitative amount of exposure, particularly on that Social Security. And some years back, one of the majors I had at Ohio State University was insurance and risk. And I was part of a team that wrote a large paper similar to a thesis, but we weren't in grad school, on the security or insecurity of Social Security. And it's quite frankly a put-and-take trust fund. And at times, I believe there are excesses there, but the excess gets borrowed and IOUs get substituted. But it's a moving figure because of the population differences. And you've noticed a number of immigrants or illegals actually come in and they get certain benefits that they didn't have 10 years ago. They weren't even here. So the demand on that particular fund, which is not a fund, it's a put-and-take account, is always going to be a moving number. But I think they've moved it out so far, it might be impossible to think what it might be if somebody had to write a check to back it up right now for today. So if you went to an insurance carrier and would take out a life annuity, they would give you a figure based on the statistical life expectancy of a particular person or group of people, and they keep adding people to that statistic, and people are living longer. And I mean, it would just be very, very difficult to do. But I would say, Al, and Melody, you would agree, I believe, as well, we are in trouble. That's for darn sure. But that's another reason why financial education is so important. Get things put in order. Buy some of your shirts and different clothes and that at Goodwill. You don't have to go pay, you know, $66 for a pair of jeans. You know, they're going to be used by the time you wash them anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, have a little more common sense and then take your money and get your foundation built. Take your money and develop a strategy on how to do that. Start with me, end up with Melody, you know. But you're right, Al, that's a scary, scary statistic, and maybe somebody that's paid to crunch numbers are setting things up for a major announcement for some other default or bail-in, bail-out, or for some other. Keep in mind, we don't have a shortage of money because there's no control of how much they print. It's just the purchasing power of it. Yeah. So I have a 100, actually Sherry has it. It's a $100 trillion bill from Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those too.
Yeah. Well, you can get about a half a loaf of bread with it.
We're $200 trillion rich.
See?
Yeah. Don't say that. The IRS is going to be coming. And they're going to say, you said it.
Oh, we're richer than Trump.
What's the tax on $200 trillion?
But anyway, it's just really a lot of fun to work with you guys. And Melody, are there any specials going on or anything that, you know, to celebrate getting through what did they call Tuesday?
Leap year.
Super Tuesday after leap year 29th or something.
Mm-hmm. But,
well, everything we have here is a special, Rob. All the time our numbers are super. And we ran one yesterday on a commemorative coin, Mark Twain, a gold and silver proof coin. It is a novelty. I wouldn't purchase one for, long-term investing in gold and silver, but they make wonderful gifts and I just came across some and, I thought I would offer them. But we always have the $5 AU Liberty gold pieces. I always think they're a great coin. They're one of my favorites for fractional pieces. We've sold a number of Mint State 63 $10 Indian gold pieces. We were running that as a special with a free silver eagle on each coin that they purchased, and that is still going on. So, but folks got to pick up the phone and give us a call at 800-375-4188. We'll always adjust our prices, and you know, we still do things the old-fashioned way. We want to talk to the clients. We don't do online selling, never have. We post coins up there so people can get an idea of the various products that are there for investment. We shake hands. You know, we don't record people. We don't take your credit card just to lock in prices. So it is the old-fashioned way. I know the venues that I advertise on, and I know the people that we have received over the years. And you know what, Rob? In over 20 years, I've never had a check go bad. And I don't think there's any business in this country that could say the same thing. Mm-hmm. That do a large amount of business on checks. So mm-hmm. We got a great clientele, and it's time to get off the fence.
It's also for time sure. To get off the radio program. We're going to have to give Rob, you got about 10 seconds, Rob, give folks some contact information where they can reach you.
Phone or text, 303.
Whatever floats your boat.
No, this is both, phone and text.
Oh.
303-472-0531. Mountain Time in Colorado, and we're just Sherry and I are just happy to be part of your show from time to time and share some financial education. And call me anytime; my information is free.
All right, Rob, thanks
Appreciate it, Rob. Thank you.
We're out of time, folks. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Rob West, and Frank, the producer. Bye bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.